Alleluia, 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 Alleluia.
Blessed are you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have revealed to little ones the mysteries of the kingdom.
Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus proposed another parable to the crowd, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all through the wheat, and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have the weeds come from?' He answered, 'An enemy has done this.' His slaves said to him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' He replied, 'No, if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the weed along with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. Then at harvest time, I will say to the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the weeds into my barn.' He proposed another parable to them. 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches.' He spoke to them another parable. 'The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened.' All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world.' Then, dismissing the crowds, he went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He said in reply, 'He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear the gospel of the Lord.'" One of the themes that runs throughout St. Matthew's gospel is the theme of the kingdom, or the mystery of the kingdom. The kingdom which Jesus came to establish, the kingdom that is always present wherever there is the king. Jesus came to establish a kingdom now already present among us. And he will come again at the end of time to bring his kingdom to fulfillment. In the meantime, we see this week, as we did last week, that the kingdom's mysteries are unfolded to those who open their hearts, making their hearts a rich soil in which the word can grow and bear fruit, even as there are false Christians in our midst right now who may be difficult to distinguish from the real Christians whose hearts have been truly impacted by Jesus Christ. Until he does return, Jesus taught us to pray every day for the coming of his kingdom. What kingdom is Jesus talking about, and why is it so important? Christ's kingdom is life as God created it to be lived. I'll say that again. Christ's kingdom is life as God created it to be. Life full of meaning, purpose, wisdom, and lasting happiness. We're talking about life to the full, which we can only have through friendship with Jesus Christ, our Savior, through knowing, loving, and following him more closely every day. Jesus himself told us, "I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full." And St. Paul understood this. Paul defined Christ's kingdom in these words: "The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." I'll repeat that again. The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the goal, that's the purpose of Christ's kingdom, ultimately allowing God's grace to rule our thoughts and our actions. It's the kingdom which begins here on earth in the church. It's a kingdom that will last into eternity. And how do you and I get there? We allow Jesus Christ to build up his kingdom in our lives, in the lives of our families, in the lives of our communities. In today's gospel, Jesus teaches us three characteristics of his kingdom. First, his kingdom is always growing, even if our perceptions of this reality may be somewhat different. His kingdom starts wherever it goes, just like the great saints in history were able to take the gospel to far-flung lands. It starts small inside our souls as well. It's the voice of our conscience, which can be just a whisper. It's alive, so it's always growing. Does the church look like the church as it did in the first century? Well, not exactly. But if you plant a mustard seed, you expect something to happen. A 10-foot-high mustard plant doesn't exactly closely resemble a small seed. Jesus' kingdom is alive, dynamic, and always growing. A second characteristic of Christ's kingdom is that it will always have to face opposition and contradiction. One thinks of the pro-abortion, pro-death, allegedly Catholic politicians and their supporters, who I mention all the time, simply because the pro-death Catholic politicians are the most exquisite example, public example, of this real opposition and contradiction to the kingdom. The weeds and the wheat grow side by side. Wherever you find saints, you're almost certainly going to find sinners. But sinners always have the possibility of becoming saints. In almost every time and place where Christ begins to change lives, scandal, mockery, persecution, and division can break out. Earth is not heaven, and even our little parish is not heaven. There will always be wounds, problems caused by sins, sins of those within the church, and sins of the enemies of the Church of Christ. So we're always going to have Judas, and we pray that we will always have repentant, persevering Peter. This same dichotomy exists within each one of us. The dividing line between good and evil runs through every human heart. So it would be foolish for us to label persons as good or evil. St. Faustina, the Polish nun chosen by Jesus to begin the Divine Mercy devotion, described how her own prayer life was plagued by weeds. She wrote, "In prayer, I always find light and strength of spirit. Although there are moments so trying and hurtful, that it's sometimes difficult to imagine that these things can happen in a convent. Strangely, God allows them, but always in order to manifest or to develop virtue in a soul. And this is the reason for trials. Learning this lesson is a great way to reduce our spiritual stress and for us to become more realistic. A third characteristic of Christ's kingdom is that its impact will be out of proportion to its size. A little leaven makes the whole loaf rise. A little bit of Christian courage and witness can send ripples far and wide. One act of forgiveness and mercy can put an end to long-standing bitterness, hatred, and resentment. One young man saying yes to God's call to priesthood can send tidal waves of truth across the world, as it did with blessed Pope John Paul II, and as we are experiencing with his awesome successor, Pope Benedict XVI. Isn't it odd that even after years after her death, a tiny nun named Mother Teresa is far more famous and influential than the world's kings and queens, business tycoons, and movie stars? A faithful mother and a faithful father who let Jesus Christ reign in their hearts and actions, they are magnifying God's saving grace far and wide. At the end of the age, in the so-called second judgment, everything will be revealed. We will come to know the impact of everything that we did that was evil. We'll come to know as well the impact of everything that we did that was noble, courageous, and godly. You and I in this church are already members of Christ's kingdom by virtue of our membership in his church. We're beneficiaries of the kingdom through the grace growing in our hearts like the mustard seed, making us hopefully more and more like Christ. Brothers and sisters, in the 2,000 years since Jesus was born, how many earthly kingdoms and empires have come and gone? Like pebbles tossed into the sea. There are many more than you and I can imagine. But Christ's kingdom remains, and it grows and it spreads in every generation. When he was at Yankee Stadium in New York a few years ago, Pope Benedict told us this. Each day throughout this land, you and so many of your neighbors pray to the Father in the Lord's own words, "Thy kingdom come." This prayer needs to shape the mind and heart of every Christian in this nation. It needs to bear fruit in the way you lead your lives and in the way you build up your families and your communities. When we receive Holy Communion, let's ask Jesus to shape our minds and hearts with his grace so that we can say these same words through the example of our own lives.